We only sing them about once a year. I don't know why we can't sprinkle a few of those in throughout the year. Talking about Christ, and most every one of those songs talks about His birth, but it also talks about His death and why He came to this world to live as a child and grow up and be a man and all the things He went through. So we can go to the cross for you and I. Luke chapter number 2, I'll try to go as quickly as I can. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read the Christmas story is what it's known as. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 14, and then get into the message. Luke chapter 2, this passage of Scripture, I imagine, is in a child of God's home, in a Christian's home, probably has been read over the last few days. I know it was read last night around a family gathering we had, and it's probably read this morning in some homes, and this is the story of the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. The Bible said, and it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And they're still taxed in today. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This story is a very familiar one to most people, especially if they're Christians. Story of Christ's birth. But in this story, there is a lot that's going on. And there's not time to go over all the aspects and details of what is happening. Every aspect of the Savior's birth was prophesied in the Old Testament, and everything that was prophesied came to pass. 100% of it came to pass. Everything up to this point that has been prophesied has come to pass just like the Bible said it would. And you know what? Because of that, I believe He's coming back. Amen? I believe He's coming back soon. Because everything, the rest of the Bible's true. I believe that part's true. I believe heaven's true. I believe hell's true. So we find this in the Christmas story here, Christ being born. But in verse number 11, it said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. We find that the angels tell us why Jesus came right here in this verse, and that was to be a Savior, to be the Savior of the world. Luke 19:11 said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why He came, was to be a Savior. Hold your spot in Luke chapter number 2, but we're going to turn to a few verses this morning, so have your Bibles ready. Hold your place in Luke 2. Go back to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter number 1. We find that Christ being a Savior and coming to be a Savior was prophesied. It was prophesied. Matthew chapter 1, this prophecy was just before the birth of Christ, but it's still a prophecy nonetheless. Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 21. If you're there, say amen. This is when the angel of the Lord came and spoke to Joseph in a dream. Verse number 21, and she, Joseph's wife Mary, espoused wife, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So it was prophesied that he would be a Savior. There's prophecies in Zechariah. There's prophecies in Isaiah. There's prophecies in Jeremiah. We're not going to read them all, but one verse that's very familiar this time of year, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So every one of these prophecies concerning Christ have to do with what he came here to do. With what he came here to accomplish. He came with a task. He came with something in mind. And it was not to stay a baby the entire time. Some people only ever see Christ as a baby in a manger around Christmas time, but he grew up, and I imagine he grew up just as fast as some of these kids do. I talked about in 11 years from now will be the next time Christmas will fall on December 25th on a Sunday. And 11 years from now, a lot is going to change. I can't even imagine how old my kids will be in 11 years. It's going to go by just like that, these little babies. Emily just had a precious little baby. Thank you all for praying for everything. Went great. We praise the Lord for it, man. There were so many complications beforehand. Everything went great. They're back at the doctor today just doing a checkup, and everything's looking good. We praise the Lord for it. You know, in 11 years, that baby's going to be 11. Going to be older than Elijah is. Wherever he's at, he's not feeling well. Got asthma problems. But he's 10 years old right now, and in 11 years, that little baby, Emily's hole, is going to be older than Elijah is, right? It's going to go by just like that. And Jesus grew up. He didn't stay a baby. There's people that see him as that, and they worship him as a baby, but he grew up. I'm thankful he came and that he was born. But he came to fulfill a purpose. And you know, I imagine that as soon as he was born, he had to go through the process of being a baby, just like we have babies today and as they grow. But as soon as he showed up, he had one thing on his mind, and that was to fulfill the will of the Father. That's why he was sent. And as a baby, we find that prophecies already being fulfilled as to what his job was. That was to be a Savior. As a babe, child, Christ began to fulfill the will of the Father. You say, how did he do that? The angels were talking about him being a Savior. The shepherds were there. The wise men were there. Mary and Joseph were all talking about the fact that he was going to be their Messiah. He was going to be their Savior. And as a baby, they knew that he began to fill. Herod got mad about the fact that this was going to be the new King of Kings and the new Lord of Lords. And Herod wanted all the babies 2 years under and under to be killed, just like we find prophesied back even in Exodus. We see pictures of that. But you know, he began to grow. Look with me in Luke chapter 2. Go back there. I asked you to hold your place there. Luke chapter 2, Jesus Christ began to grow. We talk about 11 years from now, the next time Christmas will fall on a Sunday. Well, just about 11 years after he was born, the Bible says he was 12 years old here. We find Jesus doing the will of the Father. We find him doing what he was sent here to do, what God called him to do. Let's look at this very quickly. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 42. I heard somebody the other day, I think it was Emma, I'm not sure, was telling somebody that we had left her at church. And I don't know, if you ever grew up in church, you got left at church at one point or another. I did. I got left at church, and my mom thought my dad had me. My dad thought my mom had me, and the deacon had me. The deacon took me home with them, and they didn't have cell phones, just a call. It was hours later they finally figured out, you know, where's Andy? Well, he's not here. They left him at church. And so I know how Jesus feels. Jesus gets left at church. Anybody else ever been left at church, kids, or as a kid? Only a couple people. Well, y'all are missing out. I can relate with Jesus. You can't. I'm sorry. All right, Luke chapter number 2, verse number 42. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Who in here is around 12 years old? Maybe 10 to 13 years old. Anybody? Ella, Elijah, he's 10 years old. How old are you? nine, just that close, almost. 12 years old, and when they have fulfilled the days, verse 43, as they return, the child Jesus, he's still a child, he's not preteen. I'll move on there. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, surely somebody got Jesus and brought him with them, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days, I mean, the child's been missing 3 to 4 days now, 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? As a 12-year-old boy, Jesus knew what he was there to do, and that was to fulfill the will of the Father. He had a work to do on this earth, and he had Calvary on his mind, a cross to look forward to. So we find as a baby, he came and he was ready to fulfill the will of the Father. And as a child, he was doing that very thing. Man, I don't know how many kids that in that age group today that you'll ever find just studying their Bible or trying to learn more about God or trying to fulfill the will of the Father. Most of them are worried about their video game not working properly. Amen. I don't. At least the video games today, you don't have to blow in it 500 times to try to put it back in to get it to work over and over again. Some of the games I had when I was little, I had to sit there and blow in it, push it in, and bang on it, and all those kind of things. And now you're worried if it gets a scratch on it, I guess. But 12 years old, that's not what Jesus was concerned with. He was concerned with what does God want me to do, and that's what I need to be doing. We find that he's our example in that way. And so we find that that's what he's busy doing. I must be about my father's business. This purpose that he had in his heart, this purpose he had in his mind, it continued all the way through his ministry. We find everywhere Jesus went, he was going about to do good, and he was going about to preach about the kingdom. He was going about to preach that he was sent from the Father to be a Savior. The angels way back there where he was born, behold, talked about him being a Savior, all those things that Isaiah prophesied that he would be. And now he's here. And now he's trying to fulfill the will of the Father. I'm getting somewhere in this. Hang on with me. He came to fulfill. The Bible said in Matthew 5:17, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill. He came to make things right. In Matthew 10:34, John 9:39, all these passages say where Jesus says, I am come. He came to do a work. In John 5:43, he said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that ye might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. John 12:46, I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus knew why he came. He knew why he was here. It was prophesied why he was coming. When he showed up, the angel said, this is why he's here. And his entire ministry, from a child to a young boy, to a teenager, to an adult, to his earthly ministry, he knew why he was here. He knew why he came. At the end of his ministry, just moments, just days before he was going to go to the cross of Calvary, look at what he uttered. Look at the words he uttered in John chapter 17. Y'all okay this morning? John chapter 17, just moments before his crucifixion, look what he uttered to his Father in a prayer to him as his public earthly ministry, as his earthly ministry is coming to a close. John chapter 17, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Look what he says in verse number 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast gavest me to do. Jesus came as a baby there, born in that stable, in that manger. Mary and Joseph, they weren't married yet. They were engaged to be married. And it was a miraculous birth that took place. And all these things transpired with the angels and the shepherds and with the wise men. And as he began to grow, he's sitting there in the temple teaching doctors and lawyers and listening to them. And he's learning and he's growing and all these things. And he has one thing in mind, and that's to finish the work he was sent to do. And we find that everywhere Jesus went, he was doing that work. And now he comes here moments before his death, and he utters the words to his Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He finished this work. He told the Father here in John 17. But look, he tells God in a prayer, Father, I did everything you asked me to do. I finished. Look in John chapter 19. He shouts it out to the world. He yells out to the world, it is finished. John chapter 19 and verse number 30. John 19, 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He told God, Father, I did everything you asked me to come here and do. And he's there on the cross, and the final thing to be done was to be the Savior of the world. And he died on the cross. He said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He completed the work he was sent to do. From the prophecies all the way through the birth, through his childhood, to his adult ministry, to the cross of Calvary, he did the work. He did the work he came to do. So what are you getting at in all this, preacher? Well, first of all, I'm thankful that he came and did the work. I'm thankful that he did what needed to be done. Christ had completed. And after he completed these things, he went on to Calvary and became the Savior of the world to complete the final task. Look what the Bible said in Acts chapter 10. Hold your place there in John. Look at Acts chapter number 10. Look at an eyewitness of some of the things that Christ did while he was on this earth, while he was trying to fulfill the will of the Father. You know, my Bible says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Why? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. How are you supposed to win a sinner if you don't be a friend to them? I'm not saying be friends in their sin. Jesus never one time sinned in order to win a sinner. He was just a friend of sinners. You say, well, I see where he got mad and was flipping tables over. Yeah, he was mad at a bunch of religious people who said they were children of God that weren't acting like children of God. That's who he was mad at. He gets mad at the religious people. But a sinner, an old drunk, an old dope head, all those people, that's who Jesus was a friend to. Why? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Those religious Pharisees, they didn't want a Savior. They didn't feel like they needed one. So guess who he went to? That old sinner who knew he was a sinner. I'm thankful he came by my way. Christ completed what he came to do. Look at this disciple witness of what took place during Christ's earthly ministry. In the book of Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter 10 verse number 38. Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God, this is an eyewitness of what took place when Peter's preaching here. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know what? You know why he was going around healing? He was healing because he was a good man trying to help people, and he was giving them a taste of the kingdom that's to come. There's a kingdom coming where all this stuff's going to take place. But he was doing this healing because he was doing good. He was trying to win people to his Father, and he wanted to tell them there's better things coming. He was doing the will of the Father. He went around doing good and healing the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse number 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He said, man, we watched Jesus going around doing good. We watched him as he was trying to fulfill the will of the Father, the reason he came and was born. We were watching him do these things. We were watching him help people and do good. Turn with me back to John chapter 17. John, I know we're turning to a lot of verses, but we didn't have Sunday school this morning, so this is a double header right here. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. So this is the continuation of the prayer that Jesus has towards the Father at the end of his ministry. We already know up there in verse number 4, he said, I have finished the work. And now he goes after he tells God, Lord, I did everything you told me to do. Now he moves on and starts praying for the people that he had won toward God. He starts praying for his disciples. And in this prayer for the disciples, verse 18, it said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. You see, Jesus came. Everything was prophesied about what his job was, what his responsibility was, what God wanted him to do. And he fulfilled it. He did every bit of it. He said, I've done everything you asked me to do. He cried, it is finished. The job was done. But he was praying to God and said, Lord, these people, these followers, these disciples, the people that will be saved down through the years, now I'm praying that you'll help them continue the work. Jesus Christ came and died, was buried, he rose again. But guess who he left here to do the work? You and me. And I want to ask this morning if we would be able to look up to God the Father and say, Lord, up till now, I've done the work that you've sent me here to do. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 very quickly. I'm not going to go into the doctrinal teaching this morning of works and grace, but we are saved by grace. Plus nothing, take away nothing. We're saved by grace. It's a free gift that has been given to us. But that does not mean we don't work. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at me in verse number 8. You're there, say amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And we could say amen to that. Verse number 9, not of works, just in case you were wondering, lest any man should boast. You cannot earn your way to heaven, period. But look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Jesus Christ went about doing good. He went about doing good so that he could win people to his Father. And I'm telling you right now, church, we have a great responsibility ahead of us to do good, to win people to Christ. That's the goal, to win people to Christ. And so there is a great work to do. And as Jesus came, he fulfilled the work, he accomplished the work, and now he's left the disciples and those and us today to do a work for him. To do a work for him. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You said, man, I thought this was a Christmas message. It still is. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We live in it's got to be the most selfish time that has ever been in the history of mankind. The most selfish, not just in the world, but amongst Christians. Selfish, thinking about themselves only. Jesus, that wasn't who Jesus was. He went about doing good for others. He thought about other people ahead of himself. There's plenty of verses I could look at when talking about Christ in this way. But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Here's an example of some folks that are doing good, talking about these widows, taking care of the widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Well reported of for what? Good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. We're not saved by works, but there is a work to do. And we ought to be doing good works one for another and trying to win sinners to Christ and being kind one to another. Tender-hearted. We find this widow here that she was well reported of for good works. Just there to help anybody. Just there to take people in and to just do good works. I wonder if somebody was to think about us or our name was to come up, if there would be any kind of mention of, man, they are good people and they would do anything for you. Now, there's a lot of people in this world that are very good people, but they're not saved. And good people are in hell and bad people are in heaven. But if you're saved, it ought to be a testimony of you as a child of God that you do good. That ought to be a testimony. When that person's name, when your name is mentioned up, brought up, they ought to say, man, that's a good person. Why would they say that? Because they're good to others. Not talking about how great you are or great you think you are. But they say, hey, that person, that's a good person. Well, why would they say that? Because they show goodness towards others. Say, so what are you getting at? I know there's a lot of aspects of why Christ was here. There's a lot that go on with why he came and a lot of doctrine and things to be fulfilled. But I'm looking at the one thing he did, that he went around doing good, and that's what God wanted them to do. And that's exactly what we ought to continue on with. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 25, right there in the passage. Likewise also the what? The good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. These good works. Look with me in chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. This is what Paul was telling Timothy to preach to those that are rich. That are in his church, rich in the world. That they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. This is the charge he's given to those that are rich, that they've been blessed. And in verse number 18, he said, tell them that they do good. That they be rich in what? Good works. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Not storing up as much money, not storing up as much things in this world that they possibly can. That's all going to burn up when we're done. But they said, why don't you lay up some good works? I mean, God has blessed some people with wisdom. They'd be able to work. They get talents. And hey, all those things that God's blessed us with ought to be used to help other people. Help missionaries, help other things. Brother Gaddis is going to be teaching on finances soon. And some of the things he's going to cover are the reasons why we can't do these what the Bible tells us to do right here. Because of debt, because of things that we just accumulate. We accumulate all this stuff in our life, and we never can get to this point of being able to bless others and help others. You know, there's some people that no matter how hard they try, they just can't get anywhere. And guess what? God puts people like that in churches. I have people call me for the last 2 weeks saying, can you buy Christmas for my kids here at the church? I mean, the phone every day rang, people asking. And my first response is, where is your home church? And they said, I don't have one. I said, well, you probably better go get in one. You say, well, you know, that's mean. That's not very charitable. But these people are looking for handouts, and they're not willing to even try at all. And that's not a good thing. I've even told them, if you'll come to church and sit through the service, I'll talk to you afterwards about paying your power bill, and they'll never walk through the doors of the church. And I said, I'll help you. I'll help you myself if I have to. And they don't come. There's just some people you can't help no matter how hard you try. But there are some people that do come to church, and they do try. And man, they just can't catch a break. And guess what? God puts people like that in our lives, and he gives us the opportunity to bless them, and then he'll bless us, and there's just blessings everywhere. And thank God for opportunities like that. So he was telling Timothy to charge those that they store up for themselves good foundations, talking about good works. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. This is talking about the preacher, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Timothy 3, 17. This is talking about the preacher, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good work. We find it over and over, and we're not saved by works. But I tell you, as a child of God, we got to get busy doing something. Trying to help others, little things. The nursing home ministry. Man, what an opportunity for anybody that wants to go. And you say, I can't really do anything. If you show up in that building, they are overwhelmed that you came to a service at the nursing home. And guess what that is? That's a good work. And God blesses you for it. We're going to start that back up full-fledged starting next week. Brother Jeff's preaching, Lord willing. Nobody else will get sick up there, but if it does go down, when it comes back up, we'll go back at it. That's an opportunity. When we go out giving out tracts, we go out doing things, helping people, man, good, doing something good so that they can see Christ. So that they can see Christ. Look at Titus chapter 1. I got a couple more, and I'm finished. Just a moment. Titus chapter 1, verse number 16. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in what? In works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, what? Reprobate. They say they know God, but there's no proof of it. They're not good people. They're not helping other people. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Sorry, 2:7. Titus 2:7. This is talking about young men in the church. In all things, all right, Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of what? Good works. Young people having a pattern, showing a pattern, a character of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Look at verse number 14 of the same chapter. Talking about Christ who gave Himself for us. Jesus Christ, this is what we're getting back to the birth. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. Jesus gave it all for us. He saved us. I'm not going to hell. Jesus came. He did everything that God told Him to do. He said, it is finished. I did it all. He knew why He came, and He completed it. I thank God I'm saved, but outside of salvation, what am I doing here? What are you doing? What are we doing as a church? If we're just going through the motions and we're just living up life and we're working so that we could just enjoy this life even more, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things and all those things, I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you, if we're not doing something for God and doing good, then man, we're messing up. Jesus came and He completed everything you're supposed to do. Look at chapter 3, just a couple more verses. Look at chapter 3, Titus chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm, how often? Constantly. This is Paul telling this man Titus, as a preacher, you're supposed to affirm these things all the time. That they which have believed in God might be careful to what? Maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I think sometimes maybe as Bible believers and we're saved by grace, that we're so much grace that we forget that works is a part of this thing, but not a part of your salvation. But we are saved unto good works. Looking for opportunities to bless. Looking for opportunities to help a missionary. Looking for, you said, I don't have the money to do those things. Look for an opportunity to work with your hands or do something to be a good person towards somebody else. That's what Jesus prayed. He said, I'm going to send them out into the world that they can continue the work I was doing. What was the work He was doing? He was being good. He was doing good things for people. He was trying to win people to the Father. Look at verse number 14, chapter 3, verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain what? Good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. There's a great work to do. You know what Paul said when he got done to the end of his life? He got saved later on in life. He was a persecutor of the church. He was a blasphemer, but he got saved. And from the day he got saved all the way until he died, He said, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I have finished my course. We find where Paul sometimes got a little angry and upset with the church when they weren't doing right. But we also find where he was winning souls everywhere he went. When he's in the tent-making ministry, whatever, when he's at the job, wherever he was doing good toward others. And you know what he said? He said, I finished what God told me to do. And I just wonder this morning, church, are we accomplishing what God wants us to do? Are we accomplishing His will? Last place is the last place we'll turn and we'll be done. We're not going to give an invitation. We're just going to pray, be dismissed, and go enjoy time with our family. We're about to head to the nursing home. So pray for that. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse number 24. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. If you're there, say amen. Question this morning is, we know why Jesus came, and we know He accomplished what He came to do, but are we fulfilling the will of the Father that He left for us to do? Why are we here? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to what? And that sentence is not over. It continues. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We ought to encourage each other and encourage one another unto love and unto good works. And even as we get closer to the end of this thing, being faithful to church and faithful to serving others. As a church, we have opportunities to do that. The nursing home, and when it warms back up, going back out, giving out tracts, the parade the other night, going, giving out tracts, just doing what we can to be a blessing to the community and to give out the gospel. We have opportunities as a church, but you ought to look for opportunities in your own life. The people you work with, the people that you're surrounded by, your family that has nothing to do with the church, look for opportunities. And you know, one day they may just look up and say, man, why are you being so good to me? Say, because Jesus Christ has been awful good to me. And man, that'll open a door so that you can tell them about Jesus Christ and why He came. He came to be the Savior of the world. Amen. Jesus said, I am come. And the question for us this morning is, why are we here? I'm thankful I'm saved. I am. Don't get me wrong, man. I'm going to shout it out with everybody else. I'm saved, and I'm not going to hell. But what am I left here to do? And if it's not for me to help somebody so that about the end of the day... Now listen, there's people that help. They overly help, and they never tell them about Jesus. And they're messing up when they do that. You can feed them and clothe them right into hell. But there's nothing wrong with feeding and clothing them if you're going to tell them about Jesus. Trying to help somebody. Trying to help somebody. It seems like every year, and I know things are difficult, and I'm not getting on to anybody at all, but every year for the last 8 years, we've had people come up to me and say, is there anybody in the church you know of that needs some help for Christmas? Every year that happens. It did not happen one time this year. And that's not a knock on anybody. I know it's been a different year, but man, we get so busy and thinking about ourselves and thinking about what we got going on. And I'm telling you, there's some folks that really do need things. And you know what? We as a local church, that's what we're here for. Amen. Let's all stand. Jesus came and did His work, and I'm thankful for it. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. Lord, thank You for loving us. We thank You for being a great God and a great Savior. And Lord, as we read about Your birth, Father, we're thankful that You came and, God, all those prophecies were fulfilled. Lord, You did the work. You finished it on the cross of Calvary. And Father, what a great responsibility You lay before us to magnify You and to lift You up in our lives and in our church. Father, to do good unto others so they can see there's a Savior that cares. A Savior that's ready and willing to save. I thank You for our church, Lord. I thank You for each and every one of them. I love them. And I pray, God, You continue to help us to do right. Lord, help us to please You in all that we do. Keep everybody safe as we go our separate ways, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.